Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Strasser, and you're listening to the Domestic Violence Awareness Podcast. And I don't know how many of you know these stats, but about every 20 minutes, someone in this world, not country, world, is abused. And I was just having a conversation with my guest today, Miss Lanelle, and we'll bring you on in just a minute, about the awareness piece. Many of us we know about domestic violence. We are maybe a friend or a sister or brother, or even ourselves have gone through it. And many of us have come out on the other side. I myself am a victim. I just am. It's the relationships that I've garnered over the past several years that I want to bring awareness to this epidemic, because many of us know about it again, and we think about it in October, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen, it's every day, every moment of the day. So anyone out there who wants to tell their story to empower other men and women, women and men, to tell their story, please call me. My number, direct line, 682-352-3014. My contact number for my office is 800-200-2476. 800-200-2476. So today we have online Miss Lanelle, and I'm going to ask her to tell a little bit about herself and why she wants to empower other women on their journey. Good morning, Miss Lanelle.
Oh, good morning, Janice. How are you?
We're awesome. Good to be alive. What made you become involved in domestic violence in the way that you are? Because you're a marketing event planner, right?
I am, yes. And I'm on the board of directors for a nonprofit here in Dallas, Texas, and who crusades for that very issue. So what made me get involved was I myself was a victim. I am now a survivor of domestic violence. I'll say domestic violence and stranger dangers, because there have been a few other things that have happened in my life that have led me to the path that I am in currently. But I started out as a young mother. I'm from Iowa originally. And got involved, well, I'm sorry, let me backtrack just a tad. My first experience with domestic violence was watching my mother suffer abuse at the hands of a stepfather. So even though, you know, I was indirectly, as far as the physical aspect, that still affected my life, because I'm watching, you know, my mother, someone I love very dearly, go through various situations with this man. And that trickled over into an evening of where he decided to abuse my sister when my mother was out of the home. So having dealt with that, that was one of my biggest scars, because I just remember waking up at night in the middle of the night and knowing that the light was on, but I had somehow been pushed up close to a wall, to the wall that was there by our bed. And every time I attempted to turn around to find out or investigate what was going on in the room, I was more or less shoved or pushed back up against that wall. So I don't know all of the details of what my sister suffered at the time. I was 8. My sister was 5 years old. I just remember that final attempt to turn around and look resulted in darkness. So I don't recall whether it's something my mind is blocking out or if maybe those shoves became something harder that put me out, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the next time I opened my eyes, the daylight was shining, and then I could hear my mother sobbing, and I rolled over, and now my mother is sitting on the floor holding my sister and just rocking her. So there was, you know, just vomit all over the room. She had been accosted. You could tell bumps, bruises all over her face, different things like this. And what was so ironic about that situation is my mother worked for a domestic violence shelter. So the night that this was taking place, my mother was at work. So there were definitely deep, deep scars that I've suffered over the years behind that, because I felt as the eldest of my mother's children, I was unable to intervene. But here is this adult male, you know, that I probably couldn't have done much to regardless. You know, that just resonated so deeply with me. It kind of, I guess, graduated into my relationships. I went through little statements made by, we could say, for family and domestic violence. So, you know, there had been times after that, as I was growing up, that uncle or that family friend who was coined the uncle would make little statements that were inappropriate, and I would kind of overlook them and keep it moving. And that sort of thing. That happened on a couple different occasions. And then eventually, as I got into my teen years, I ended up becoming pregnant at an early age and marrying a man who initially treated me as a queen. And then within 2 years from that time was abusing me physically, forcing me into drug abuse. Luckily, I got out of that situation before I became addicted and that sort of thing. But financial abuse, you know, and the whole realm of that. So I've had my years of experience with it, and it just moves me now to want to touch the lives of others and help them find their way out of those circumstances.
You know, it's interesting. I don't want to use the word interesting. It's amazing to me how many of us have this similar, not the same, but similar stories about our mothers going through this abuse and how it affects us. And
yeah, I
want to read, hold on 1 second. Let me share the verse of the day right now. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue your story. Because I want you to think about this, because although we've gone through this, how have we come out of it? And what are we doing to empower others? So think about that. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
When I'm walking down the street, people are looking at me. What they see is a masterpiece, created by the king. I am different by design, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may not look like you and you me, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Gotta be you, gotta be me, and gotta be different and unique. I'm gonna be the best.
The verse of the day comes from Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I enjoy providing information that's both spiritual thought-provoking current events and massaging that into a podcast where anyone can really understand that this is something that we all have to deal with. So my prayer is, awesome, gracious Father, I confess that I've not done enough, but to open my heart to do more epidemic that's facing our world today. Amen. This show is archived online indefinitely, and we're in seven countries. And that's why I say it's a worldwide epidemic, not just an American epidemic, not just Western nations. It's worldwide. Anything that's said on this show can help someone on the other side of the world. Keep in mind, it's daylight here. It's dark over there. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37, verse 4. My question, I have several questions before we get back to your story for the audience. I ask this every day, and I'm not sure I have the right answer for myself, but do you believe that abusers change?
I believe it's probably the circumstance. I do believe they can change. It's interesting that that would be the question. As I literally read a post that a male friend of mine had made, or male acquaintance of mine had made on Facebook, and he had come clean about a situation that he was in, and he did have to, he resorted, you know, with violence towards this female in his life. And I think the realization of what had happened, you know, after he took stock of it all, you know, he was able to correct that behavior. Maybe that was a one-time instance. But my abuser, I know when I got married later on, he not only abused me for several years, the next relationship after that, he had a much better relationship. He had come to terms and it changed his life. So I do think that they can correct that, but God definitely has to be invited in. They definitely have to take stock of what, you know, what they're doing and what they have done in their lives, you know, in order for that to happen. So, yes, I would really like to believe in my heart of hearts that that behavior can be changed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, again, as women of faith, we have a level of faith that is uncommon. And of course, we want to think the best. But if we delight ourselves in the Lord, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. Didn't say he may give it to you. He said he will. Not maybe. He will. So, Ms. Linnell, back to your story. You have an amazing testimony, and every testimony in my heart and in my mind is amazing. We all come from different backgrounds. You're from the Midwest. I'm from the South. I'm from Alabama. And I thought in my life that was a way of life. But it changed me. How has it changed you?
And I'm sorry, due to the phone connection, I'm sorry, you said it changed me. And what was your statement just before that?
How did it change you? How did it change you?
How did my experiences with domestic violence change my life?
Change you, yes.
I've went through many steps, obviously, to become who I am, and that brings on many facets of, you know, emotional health and just healing from the scars. I went from a time of where, you know, I was kind of unruly and wanting to party and you know, not have a good focus and handle on what I was doing, you know, to being angry, you know, for a long, long time that this even affected me to begin with, and not really seeing, I guess, my actions and how I was affecting, you know, lives negatively. I feel like because it's such a generational curse, or can be labeled that, it trickled down to me because my mother didn't do something to change her circumstance. So that's where some of the anger came in my life as I was failing in relationships and different things that was happening after, you know, after that, because I felt she set the stage. So I went through a lot of different facets until finally I hit my own rock bottom, if you will, and I didn't have any choice at that time than to reach out to God and say, you know what, I can't continue to live this lifestyle with this Band-Aid, per se, that I've put over the history in my life and the struggle that the domestic violence caused within me. I've got to fix this. So at that point, I think is when, you know, I just really dove deeper into the Word, dove deeper into my relationship with God, and allowed that transformation to take place. So it changed me in many levels, and first on a negative before I, you know, started leaning to a more positive path that I was taking.
And what were some of the steps that you took to begin the change, the journey?
Part of that journey came with just shedding a lot of things that I had held on to that were negative in my life. You know, domestic violence will give you a warped sense of love, definitely a warped sense of self-love. And I feel like, you know, we tend to gravitate towards things that will still be abusing us in one way, shape, or form, not realizing that it's just transferred the abuse from domestic violence to some other type of detriment that we're causing ourselves. So I had to first start by taking stock of my associations, places I was going, things that I was doing, and just, you know, shed a lot of that and end a lot of relationships, you know, with people that I love that were manipulating, like I said, places that I was going that were just furthering and helping to manifest these negative behaviors in myself. That was one. And while I was doing that, I stayed in the Word, and I grew in the Word, and I found a good church home that I could grow with, and eventually was able to just tell my story and to let it all out and okay, you know, be okay to do that ugly cry in front of, you know, these people. But it was a shedding of layers for me, you know, to finally get down to who is Linnell really, and what does she really want out of life. And once I was able to do that, it seemed like this cloud that had followed me for a number of years slowly parted, and the skies just became bluer and bluer. And the joy totally filled my heart and just replaced a lot of the negative. I'll tell you, when you quoted the scripture out of Psalms, I had studied and did everything I could to manifest this relationship with God, but I couldn't figure out why I couldn't hold on to a scripture. I couldn't recite it. You know, outside of John 3:16, which a lot of people, you hear that more prevalently, you know, it's kind of something that'll come to memory if you're sitting in church a lot. Psalm 69:1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." And when I read that, and it stuck with me because that was me. I'm drowning. So, Father, I need you now. And he totally, when I tell you, totally just came in and changed everything.